Welcome to Inside Legion, the podcast that takes place inside David Holler's mind. I'm Alex.
I'm Justin in the brain.
I'm Pete.
And we're going to be talking about chapter 24 of Legion, a.k.a. the one where it all goes down, a.k.a. where everybody dies. Oh, boy. Are you doing okay? Pete, I watched this episode and I was worried about you. Are you all right? Are you doing okay?
I'm fucking worried, man.
Yeah?
Yeah, because my favorite fucking character died.
Clark?
No.
Hamish Linklater?
No.
Clark's partner?
No.
Just
one of the random mustache robots.
What?
The big bus they were driving in.
Who is the person I say is a goddamn national treasure?
Oh, the dirigible.
Yeah, you love balloons.
The other day we got Pete a haircut. We got him a balloon. He was so happy.
So happy. It's weird that you associate balloons with haircuts.
We go to this place for the kids.
Very specific.
Lenny, motherfuckers. Lenny.
Lenny. Oh,
that's Aubrey Plaza. How do you guys not know this?
Okay. No, I
that's a
that
character name. You love and relentlessly speak of.
Yes, yeah. Pete. Did you get your ticket for Child Play yet? You excited to see Child's Play? You going to check that out?
No.
You clearly are not a big Aubrey Plaza fan.
I am, too.
All right, let's get into a recap before we get into this episode, because lots of stuff to talk down. David Holler is the most powerful mutant in the world. He has virtually unlimited power, and he has used it to create a cult along with his friend Lenny, who is played by Aubrey Plaza. Now, despite that, David isn't that happy, and part of the reason he's not that happy is because he broke bad last season, went a little nuts. He erased his girlfriend Sid's mind and took advantage of her, basically raped her.
Yeah,
he
awful.
Was put on trial, escaped from the trial, and went off to create this cult. But he blames it all on Amal Farouk, a.k.a. the Shadow King, who was a parasite. Thank you for backing me up like some sort of...
I'm your hype man, dude.
Fact check.
Come on, bro.
Amal Farouk, the Shadow King, who was a parasite who lived in his brain from when he was a little baby, eventually regaining his own body. Now Amal Farouk is working with ostensibly the good guys in Division 3. That includes Sid. That also includes Carrie and Carrie. Pete, you know the difference between those, right?
Yep. Yep.
Okay, so...
No need to dwell on it. It's Carrie and Carrie.
Yes, exactly. we all know the difference between the two
really
of them.
That was really well
pronounced. One of them has a sword, is super strong and excitable. The other one is super smart and able to do machines a la Donatello. Which one is it, Pete? Carrie or Carrie?
Carrie.
No, that's the other one. You were so close.
Is it really close? The other one? And Carrie is the one that is the sword?
So yeah, no, you got it wrong. You got it wrong.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, sorry.
Carrie is the scientist.
Right.
Of swords.
Oh, yeah.
There's also another dude who works for Division 3. His name is Clark. He was horribly burned in the very first episode due to an altercation with David. And there's Tonomy. Tonomy used to be a regular mutant dude until he died and then his brain was put in a computer. He now works with a bunch of women with bowl cuts and mustaches who are
He's
also
got a
robots.
Sick mohawk, though.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, he does have, like, a sick mohawk. Yeah. That's true. So they pilot this dirigible that's been flying over the Earth. They've been trying to track down David. However, David, in the meantime, has allied himself with a time traveler named Switch. Switch has the ability to go back in time. It's been pretty difficult for her, but Carrie, has been amplifying her powers and allowing her to travel back in time. David originally thought if he could go back and prevent himself from being taken over by Amal Farouk, he could change history. Wouldn't that be good for everybody?
Yeah.
Obviously, it would only be good for him, but it didn't matter. But then he lost Switch the last episode when Carrie, took Switch up to the dirigible saying, "Don't worry, you're safe now," not knowing that Switch was really on David's side. So that's really where we leave everybody. Heading into this episode, which was a big action episode where David goes to war with Division 3 and awful, awful things happen and David can never be forgiven ever, ever again.
Yep. And also Time Cats, the musical.
Yes, Time Cats, the musical. Do you want to do a quick recap of what happened for us?
Watch What Happens?
Yeah, Watch What Happens.
What Hoppies?
Yes, I think I can do that.
Stop trying to make hoppies happen.
That's a weird thing.
Jesus Christ.
We get a great action sequence right at the top with who we find out is Clark's partner. Driving a bus with a bunch of mustache robots, and David confronts them. This was such a good sequence, I thought.
Oh, it really was.
And kills them and like erases the memory of Clark's partner to get the fact that the dirigible is a thing and his chance to find the location of it. David's in full villain mode the entire time. I love the credits.
There was a moment when it wasn't, and I thought maybe they would try to get Lovewood win over, but turns out no.
Fuck no. That's the real lesson here. Great opening credit bit with the...
That
took
those?
Me right back.
Oh, my God. It really did take me right back.
The little pills you drop in water, and they turn into dinosaurs is what you usually got. But in this case, it's spelled out Legion. I thought that was
amazing.
Great. Carrying on this theme of... all the damage was done to David Legion as a child, and it's having horrible consequences for the world and all of our characters. David goes back to his fun cult where he's confronted by Lenny. Lenny's like, hey, man, I don't want to do this. I've seen the rest of the world.
Also, she was really hurt in the last episode.
Right. I forgot to recap this. So there's these things called time demons, as we mentioned, who live in the passageway and the space and time between time. The passageway that Switch can access. They got released. They attacked everybody and put them through horrible trauma, but nobody worse than Lenny, who watched her wife, I guess, or girlfriend, give birth to their baby, the baby grow up, grow old, and die in front of her in basically a matter of minutes.
Yeah.
And it destroyed her.
It destroyed
her. So when she comes back to
David...
And
changed her. Being a parent changed her. She even says that.
Yeah. So when she comes back and confronts David, she's like, I'm done. She's already been waffling. She's already wanted to get out of there. But she's like, no, I'm leaving no matter what.
She says, you blockhead. Again, another Charlie Brown reference.
Yes. Now, I wanted to take a little sidestep because we are talking about the time demons and the Charlie Brown thing. We had a listener named Cody Davis who wrote into us, sent us a message, says, hey, guys, late to the pod, but love Legion. A couple of things I've thought that I haven't heard from any analysis. Why so much Charlie Brown? The constant trope of David asking, do I deserve love, combined with the openness of mental illness and the constant football moments all remind me of the Peanuts title, You're a Good Man, Charlie Brown.
Yeah.
I think that's fair. And I think also to the blockhead thing, that really drew an underline what we were talking about last week. That
she's Lucy.
Yeah, she's Lucy and he's Charlie Brown.
Which is interesting because then her killing herself, which she does, stab herself in the neck, is that the ultimate football she sets down and then swipes away?
Yeah, that's how you play football, I think, right? You stab yourself in the neck?
I mean,
I've never watched it.
There's some truth to that. But no, I mean, maybe there's going to be a metaphor there or a connection between the action and all of the Charlie Brown references.
Yeah. The other thing he says is the other big thing that no one has seemed to pick up on is the time demons very closely resemble blue meanies from the Beatles' Yellow Submarine cartoon movie. Blue, big nose, masked head, ghoulish smile. Blue meanies were a music-hating race which represented all the bad people in the world. The blue meanies arrive in Pepperland and do everything they can to oppress the peaceful, music-loving paradise, in the process stripping color from the world, much like the time demons turn the world into dust. That's all. Thanks, Cody. Thank you, Cody, for writing it.
Man,
Cody.
The Beatles were fucked up.
Yeah, they were.
They were. Do you think they were doing any drugs?
I know. I think they were just imaginative, and they had a lot of time on their
hands. Very creative.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
Blue meanies.
Well, I think that's a good catch for the blue meanies.
Like, yeah, no, I
think
they
look
that.
Exactly the same now that Cody mentions it.
And sort of do that. They're being mean. They're playing pranks on them because they are eating time.
It makes me really scared for the cast of the musical.
Seems unrelated, but maybe they are. There's something wrong with the Cats musical movie, so maybe that's what
it is. Maybe this is a prequel?
Mm-hmm. That's cool. Yeah, they were blue, and then they started like being sexual and being the wrong size. That's my hot take on the Cats trailer.
Cool.
So we get into another time traveler.
Wait, can we pause, though, on Lenny dying? How'd you feel, Pete? I know we talked about this a little bit, but I was very worried about you in that moment.
Well, here's the thing. Like, I really love the character choice that they made. The fact that Lenny has been this kind of, like, evil whatever, and the fact that she really, for the first time, got a taste of real life and, like, responsibility and, like, I think it was such a powerful character choice that it's hard for me to be mad because, like, I love the way that she went out, and I loved how powerful of a statement it was and how beautiful it was. But I'm also super mad that I'm not... I hope they find a way to at least give me some Lenny moving forward. I'm nervous that for the rest of the episodes, I don't get any Lenny.
Well, I mean, to jump ahead to the end, they're going to change time, so she's probably going to come back.
Yeah, we're going to see some more of all these characters.
To your point, what I thought was so powerful about that moment is we've seen over the course of the seasons, Lenny created this body for herself out of will. Yeah. I mean, teaming up with the Shadow King and making that happen, making it happen out of David's sister's body, which is horrible and awful. Yeah. But for her to say, I'm going to give this up, that's how much this means to me, is a huge statement about her character in terms of the show.
Yeah.
There you go.
Very cool.
Yes.
We get another entry in the Time Traveler series of why time traveling sucks, because Switch is stashed in Carrie's black hole on the dirigible. Great line. We're going to space!
Yeah. Yeah. I love that. I
so
love,
fun.
Amber Midthunder, who plays Carrie, not Carrie.
Yeah.
She's so
great.
Much fun.
She's great.
She's so
great
good.
To watch.
Yeah. And then the Shadow King is pulling some father shit on David. He's revealing their position.
Yeah.
To try and trap him.
Yeah. So let's talk
that
about the Shadow.
That was a weird moment where, like, Shadow King was just like, oh, you don't want to do what I want to do? Guess what? I'm going to fucking ruin your whole plan.
Yeah.
Well, that was my question there, is we've talked around a little bit the idea of, is Amal Farouk pulling the strings overall? Is he trying to manipulate this entire situation? I feel like after this episode, no.
What?
But I was also surprised. Maybe it's just ego on his part that he thought, yeah, of course, I can take down David. I'm smart enough. I'm the person who can take care of this on my own. So I'm going to twist this situation so that David can come up here. But that seems like a bold, reckless move on his part.
Well, I can see why you think that. But I also think it is ego driving him. He thinks he's the most powerful mutant or person on the planet. And David's challenging that because he's Amal Farouk is losing. And he even says to Sid, he's more powerful than me, but he's also moody and making all these random scattershot choices. So I think this was his last chance.
Yeah, this was his David's weak at this moment. I could take
he
advantage
can spring
of
his trap. He's angry and he knows that Sid is his ultimate weakness.
Yeah.
So right, he's like, fair. I'm going to spring the trap now best I can. I'm willing to sacrifice
but
everybody.
But let's talk about the Sid and David scene that we had here.
Well, so we'll get there in one sec. So David shows up. He's merciless. He just says, be free, and starts letting people just vanish. He goes right to Clark, just straight up murders him so quickly.
When he was like, I should have killed you the first time, he was like, yeah.
Yeah. I thought that was a great,
that was amazing,
merciless scene, just a great villain scene.
Yeah, and he gets thrown out into space. Clark gets thrown out into space. Poor guy.
Yeah,
but
very cool.
You can still sing in space.
Yes, we know this. You saw The Last Jedi, right?
Carrie. Yep. Carrie gets to fight some knife wielding cult members, which I was down with. Tonami. Brick walls himself and is like, I'm out of here. I'm a robot. I got to work on my mustache, and then we get the big Sid and David conversation.
So this was amazing because Sid, right from the start, just goes, hey, what you're looking for? Okay, here's the information. And I'm like, holy shit. And they really talk, which I was so excited we got to see.
Oh, please go ahead.
Because the first time we saw Sid and David together, Sid takes the shotgun and shoots him, no hesitation.
Yeah.
But this time they actually talked, which was very powerful and amazing.
I was very apprehensive and uncomfortable watching the scene, which I think was part of the point.
100%.
But I was worried about how they were going to execute it.
Yeah.
Because David is in the wrong. David raped her. There is no coming back from that. And I was so scared they were going to get to a point where Sid was going to forgive him somehow.
Yeah. It definitely felt that way, but I gotta say, they did such a good job of cutting through all of the insanity of the world they've built to just have a great, post-breakup relationship conversation.
Yeah.
Where one person is 100% in the wrong and one person is not, yet everyone still meets sort of like, hey, we broke up and let's just talk normally. That, to me, felt very real to a breakup, not as extreme as all of this, but that was a very well done. And then when the trap was sprung, I thought that was
Sid's so smart, the way she set this whole thing up.
It was very well
done. Really using her knowledge of David in such a smart way.
I was feeling that apprehension the entire time, and I'd like to watch that scene again. I've only seen it once now, but knowing what I know now, I think they threaded the needle with the language throughout very well, where it was clear. Sid was, this is also, I think, how Rachel Keller acted it, but she was keeping it on herself. Yeah. She was keeping it to herself, and she was talking through her own emotional growth and development, not putting it out on David. While David, the way that Dan Stevens was standing, he was standing a little forward. He's facing towards her. He's like, oh, great. Oh,
because she was giving him exactly what he wanted. Like, oh, my God, you are going to come back to me without me having to go change the timeline.
Yeah. And then when the music builds and builds and builds and she just slowly reaches up and touches his face, I screamed. Perfect
so
moment.
Good. So great.
So good.
Then
we get into I Am Legion. She jumps into his brain, almost gets him killed
I think let's pause there for a second, because this is a big moment in the history of the show. Is we've wondered the entire time, like, why is it called Legion? Why is it going to be like the comic book character? And what she seems to find out is that David is just one of the personalities inside of David.
Yeah.
She gets inside of his safe place and finds all of these other Davids there that surround her, pull her back, and decide, we're going to take over, and we're going to get David back in the body. And as you said, they say, I'm Legion, we are Legion, we are Legion.
Yeah.
What did you think about that reveal as an X-Men fan?
That was great, but also explains why we saw so many different sides of David, and like... It just made a lot more sense from some of the fractured Davids we saw over the
seasons. Also in that room, in the very first episode with Switch, there's a point when he's coming out of that room and he kind of like looks back and does a little nod no, and it's clear there's somebody else back there.
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah, and in earlier seasons, we've seen him and all in the white space, and you see all the like multitude of people there. So like, was like, that's Legion. That's all the personalities inside him, but they've never touched on it or confirmed it until now. So I was like, oh, great. I don't feel crazy for thinking that and believing that. And I'm so happy that that's the choice they made, because it's so great.
Yeah. So we get that scene, and then they manage to take over Sid. Like, they reverse it and they put David back in. And then David goes, he battles Farouk after that.
Yep. With the help of Switch.
Yep. Another amazing scene. Even though Switch is the bad guy at this point, seeing Switch pop up behind Amal Farouk, open the doorway, and suck him through it was great.
So cool. It's so X-Men-y.
And that whole like space between the space thing was so tripped out and amazing.
Yeah, she throws him into the time between time, which is like a bunch of slides.
It's like
think?
What happens between the panels of a comic book.
Yeah. What do you think is going to happen with Farouk now?
He's powerful. He's been in that place before.
Yeah.
As we saw. So I think I don't think he's out. I think he's ready to fight back. If anything, obviously time travel, getting into sort of predicting what's coming next. Time travel is going to be a factor here, because they killed so many members of the cast and shattered everything. I think that's going to happen. I think Amal Farouk will way in there, and I think he's going to end up being a bit of a villain. He's been a hero for all of this season. I think he's going to
not for all
tread the line a little this season. He's been
I would bet. I don't know about the villain thing, but I would bet. Well, let's get to the end of the episode, and then we can come back to this, because there's only a little bit more. So after they battle Farouk, then David tells Switch is like, what are we going to do? They go into a very long song sequence too. I think it's an Elvis Costello song.
Yeah, what's so funny about Peace, Love, and Understanding?
Yeah, which was great.
So cool.
It almost was like David was doing an impression of that actor from like the first season who would also like sing and be, who was trapped in that weird like Ice Cube world or whatever it was.
Jermaine Clement?
Yeah.
Oliver Byrd?
Yeah.
Maybe.
It was cool.
Did you notice that Lenny was turning into a tree?
Yes.
Yeah.
Which is interesting.
That is interesting. Weird.
It is weird. I wonder what that meant. I don't know exactly what that means.
Well, I think
wasn't there a tree late or like in a prior episode that was like a main part of something?
There have been
You're
trees
thinking
in
of
this
Lord
show.
Lord of the Rings?
No, that's
the
what
Ents?
No, I'm not.
Are you thinking walking of Scarlett trees? Johansson?
No. She can be a tree.
Yeah.
No.
Are you thinking, oh, Wizard of Oz? The trees that throw apples?
I'm talking about, like, they went to...
You're thinking about smoking trees, man.
Oh, the giving
oh, wow,
tree.
Look at you with the weed ref. That yeah, was that
he
was
gets
pretty
it. Awesome. You're talking about the giving tree.
No, yeah. I'm talking about they went to... When they were jumping in people's minds, there was one scene with a tree, I thought.
You might be right.
Yeah.
Anyway. Maybe. So they go through the whole song sequence. We even get to see, as we mentioned earlier, Clark is singing in Space and Dead. Lenny, even though she's dead, is singing. Everybody's singing. But it's clearly in David's mind. We cut back, and he answers Switch, tells her what they're going to do. She says, are we going to go back to your parents again, try to save you as a baby? He's like, no, I have a different idea, just something a little smaller. So, and then they disappear, and that's kind of where we end. So lots of questions here. To loop back to the Amal Farouk thing, what I wanted to throw out earlier is I think what we're going to get the next episode is we're going to pick up with an alternate timeline. Everybody is living their alternate timelines, but Amal Farouk is outside of it. He's in the time between time. So I don't know if he'll be able to actually get out of that, but I would imagine he'll like show up in pictures talking to Sid. She'll know something's wrong. And
that's
I think
cool.
she's going to be the one to break
it'll
out.
It'll be
of
David's
it.
Idealized timeline
yeah.
with him and Sid together and everything's fine.
Yeah.
And Switch is there somehow. Does Switch love David? Why is she so
I don't
loyal
know.
To him?
I don't know what her deal is. It's I think she there's the little flash in the middle of the episode that seems like a dream sequence where she's having dinner with her dad. She passes him the potatoes, even though he's on TV. He has the robots in his room. He's obsessed with robots.
Yeah.
And she checks the back of her neck, and she has a little twisty key thing going
you think
on
she's
there.
A robot? A time-traveling robot?
I think she thinks she's a robot or worries that she's a robot.
That seems true, but I still don't know why that aligns her with David so hard.
Because she wants to feel human.
Yeah.
She wants to do something that matters. She wants to choose something that changes something.
Plus, she feels like a broken toy, and David's clearly a broken toy.
Right.
Like, she relates to David.
I guess it's to me that she could do that, have those same feelings with anyone. He is the most powerful, yes, but I don't think that helps her robot feelings. And yeah, I mean, that's a. I love that idea. I feel like the show would absorb that the idea of this alternate timeline, and then Sid rising up and being a hero to defeat David, I think would be a great way to blow out the season.
We'll see. We only have, what, 3 episodes left at this point? Something like that? It's crazy.
Of the whole show ever.
Before we wrap up, and I know this is a little bit of a shorter one, but we'll be back with super long ones, I'm sure, for the rest of the run. What was real this episode, and what was not real? I'll throw out that I think that Switch was imagining the things with her being a robot. Like, I think that was in her mind and something she was
That was in her mind when she's in the black hole. I'm starting to think of the cult and all those people, not real.
Really?
Mm-hmm. I think that's happening in his head. I think that's the place he goes to feel like, to get away from how all the villainous things he's doing.
Maybe. Pete?
And then he manifested them on the blimp.
The only thing that was real is the scene with his mom.
It's the only thing that was real.
The only thing?
Yeah.
The one from last episode?
Was it last episode?
Yeah.
That thing in his cell? Oh, I thought that was
last episode. Wow, what a crazy thing to say that something from a different episode was real.
Huh.
Whoa.
If you'd like to support our show, patreon.com/comicbookclub. Also, we do a live show every Tuesday night at 8 p.m. at the People's Improv Theater Loft in New York. Come on by and we'll blow your freaking minds. Pete, what do you want to plug?
Friend us on Facebook so you get to know about the amazing guests we have on our live show.
Follow us on Twitter at comicbooklive.
Check us out at comicbookclublive.com for this podcast and more. You can subscribe on iTunes, Android, Stitcher, Spotify, or the app of your choice. And we'll see you inside Legion.
I'm real.